Hello. Welcome to our CMD Bite Size series. In these podcasts, we will be exploring a range of ministry and theological issues. Welcome, Nick, and thank you for joining me today to talk about your role as National Coordinator for Together in the Church of England. Would you begin by telling us just a bit about yourself, who you are outside of that role?
Yes, thank you, and thank you for inviting me onto the podcast. Just to talk about me, my name is Nick Tall. I live in the West Country. I'm involved in a local church where I'm a reader or on the PCC and very involved at the parish level. My family life, I'm married with two children who are now adults and away at university, but for many years I was very hands-on bringing them up as a house husband as my wife progressed in her career. So in many ways I'm a normal everyday person who's just involved in the everyday life of the church. Alongside of that, I was in 2021 elected to be a member of the General Synod of the Church of England, which was part of a way that I've become more involved in the sort of work we're going to be talking about today.
Okay, thank you. That's great. So moving on to specifically that, for listeners who might not be aware, can you just tell us what Together in the Church of England is and how it came about?
Yes, Together in the Church of England is a new organisation. We registered as a charity in 2024, and our aim is to help the Church of England to be more inclusive and better on issues around diversity and equality, and to particularly do that by engaging with the governance of the church. So looking at the church's rules and its structures and how it conducts its business. We recognised that there were already quite a lot of really good organisations like Inclusive Church that are very good at coming alongside parishes and helping change the culture and helping parishes think through those inclusion issues from the grassroots up. But we recognised there was a bit of a gap at the top level working within the governance. And so that's why a group of us from the General Synod recognised there needed to be an organisation that wasn't just working away in the General Synod here, but was actually looking to try and help across the whole of the Church of England. So since we set up last year, we've been working obviously amongst our members on the General Synod, but also in setting up local diocesan groups so that we can have that wider reach and really start to help affect change out across our many dioceses as well. So that's a little bit of what we're about. How we came about? Well, we came out of the General Synod, and part of our background was the Living in Love and Faith debates. And there was a group of us on the General Synod who worked together on the inclusive side of that part of that debate in the life of the church right now. And we recognised that the progress we'd been making was only really possible through a lot of very close coordinated work. And we then realised that this needed to be sort of spread out beyond the General Synod to other parts of the church. And we also recognised that while we were very involved in working through questions and difficulties around inclusion with regards to sexuality, that actually it wasn't the only area where people can feel marginalised or excluded in the life of the church. And so we made a deliberate decision to be working across all of those categories of diversity and inclusion. So gender and ethnicity and neurodiversity and disability and so forth. We really care about the church being able to be open and there for everyone. So that's, in a nutshell, what we're trying to do and a little bit of an insight into how we're trying to do it.
Great, and thank you. That's really helpful to kind of identify the difference between those charities and organisations that are doing it kind of on the ground alongside local churches and that idea of the governance structure changing, because that is such a challenge for the Church of England in so many ways. But actually, it's important that the two things go hand in hand, otherwise they end up being quite out of sync with one another. So thank you for explaining that. That's really clear. I think you have some really admirable aims as an organisation. Do you think that they're achievable for an institution as broad as the Church of England?
Well, absolutely, otherwise we wouldn't be doing it. And actually, I think it's something that we have to do as the Church of England. One thing I love about the Church of England, which makes it slightly different from all the other wonderful churches we have in our country, is that we're a national church where it's written into our DNA that we have the cure of souls for everyone in our parish, for everyone in our diocese, for everyone across our country, whether they come to church or not, whether they consider themselves a Christian or not, whether they would want to turn to church or not. We need to be really ready and prepared and able to engage with people on their terms if they realise that they need to turn to the church in times of need. And so it's really important for the Church of England, with that cure of souls for everyone within their local area, everyone in their community, to really understand and value the lives of all of those people in the community. You know, whether they're from a different culture, or whether they are, you know, male or female, or whether they are LGBT plus or whatever, that the church can really open wide its doors and remove any barriers to entry for people to being able to come from our communities and have a full part to play in the life of our churches. So I absolutely think it's important that we do this, and I think it's very achievable to do it. Some of these questions and matters of culture might seem very, very big, but actually you can break them down and you can make changes here and changes there, and you can actually start to make a difference. To give one example, I'm due to be meeting with the General Synod next month in February 2025, and there's one item of business that I've been helping on behind the scenes to work on, which is about helping people from a working class background and giving them real support and encouragement in all aspects of going forward for ministry and exploring a personal vocation. And I'm really hoping through that piece of work, which I've been working on with a few other members of the Together group on General Synod, that we'll be able to help the Church of England really be much more open and able to involve people from a working class background into different forms of ministry, lay or ordained, which in itself will then help the church be much more responsive to the many different and varied communities that we're called to serve across our country.
Thank you. That's very encouraging, and absolutely, it's important, isn't it, that we have people from all walks of life that act as ministers within the Church of England in order to meet people where they are. And actually, that's very difficult to do when we're from different backgrounds sometimes. So having a more diverse group of people working there can only be a positive thing, I think. So in working with people that have been excluded, I'm sure you've come across some very moving, perhaps even heart-wrenching stories. Is there a particular one that has really struck you, that's kind of motivated you to do this work particularly?
Well, there are many different ones that stand out. I think one area where I have time and again come across stories where it's just struck me that we really need to get change in this area is around clergy who are LGBT and in a faithful, long-term same-sex relationship, but actually aren't able to get married to their partners. And it seems a bit odd, really, because as the church, we very much want to encourage marriage. We very much want to encourage people to be able to be in faithful, stable relationships and for those to be encouraged and supported. And yet our rules currently within the Church of England state that if you are in a same-sex civil marriage, of course, there can't be same-sex church marriages in the Church of England yet, but if you're in a same-sex civil marriage, that you cannot be issued with a license to minister. And there are people I've met who are married and feel a calling to ministry, but that is a barrier in the way. But one story of this that really hit me quite recently is there was a couple I knew I was quite close to in Somerset. One of them was an ordained priest, and they'd followed the rules of the church and they'd entered into a civil partnership, and they hadn't got married, but they'd they saw themselves as being married. For all intents and purposes, that's where they were in their relationship. And they were just waiting until the priest had retired. And then they were going to convert their civil partnership to a marriage so that they could finally see themselves as a married couple. Unfortunately, when the priest retired, her partner became quite ill and in her early 60s actually died. And they were never able to actually legally, officially, lawfully say that they were a married couple, that they were wife and wife. And that's something which weighs very heavily on the retired priest, the partner who was left behind. And it would be so straightforward and so pastorally supportive and sensitive for us to be able to change the rules so that clergy who are in a deep, loving, permanent, monogamous, faithful relationship can have a civil marriage, and that relationship can be one which we can respect within the life of the church.
Yeah, thank you. That is a really sad story, isn't it? Especially when they had kind of followed all the rules all the way through with the expectation that they'd be able to do that when they were no longer or when they were retired. So yeah, thank you for sharing that. Just wondering also if there's a time when you've particularly felt discriminated against, or how you perhaps hold your own privilege in check when you're doing this work.
Well, yes, in some ways I'm consider myself very fortunate. Certainly in Church of England terms, I am white, I am male, I am middle class and went to university, I'm straight and married, I'm cisgender, I'm able-bodied. I tick every beige box of identity so that when I go along to a church, I can have every confidence that I will be accepted there. And in fact, I moved house recently, and going around feeling my way into which church we would settle in, I have never once felt any anxiety going to church that I might not be welcomed. But I know full well that if I were black, or if I were gay, or if I were transgender, that I wouldn't necessarily have that confidence of being welcomed at every church I could go to. And that's one reason I feel motivated to do this work, because I know just how important and how precious it is to belong to a loving, welcoming church community, because that's been my experience, that I really want everyone to have that experience, particularly those people who often feel marginalised, whether in the life of the church or within society as a whole. How that affects me in terms of holding my privilege and being aware of that whilst doing this work, I've thought very much about what it means to be an ally. And I think my advice for anyone who wants to get involved and to help, the first thing is to say is that it's really good to be able to campaign on behalf of others who feel excluded, that we shouldn't expect people who are having difficulties with the structures or the rules of the church to have to do all the heavy lifting and to sort that out and try and reform that by themselves. But it's also important that as allies, you know, we're there, but we realise that this isn't about us. When I'm involved in, say, debates on living in love and faith, or working class people involved in ministry, I know this isn't about me. And as such, I need to make space for the people who it is about to tell their own story, tell their own, in their own words. And so there are times when I need to kind of sit on my hands and be quiet a bit to make space for other people to testify to their truth and their story. But I also recognise one important thing of being an ally is that you're not as directly affected by the issues or the debates that happen, which can give you some extra strength to get involved in the ways that those people who are directly affected may not feel that they want to or would make themselves vulnerable if they were doing that. So to give an example, as a straight person, I've been able to sit through some of the many long debates we've had around living in love and faith in General Synod and, you know, listen to different points of view. And it doesn't affect me in the way as it might to an LGBT plus person, because they can very much feel that their life and their loves and who they are is being put under the microscope and being judged, Whereas for me, I don't have that. I know at the end of the set of sessions, I'll be going home to my wife and life will carry on as normal. And that means that allies, whilst not making it about themselves, are able to get involved and, in some ways, be able to be part of some discussions where those that we're working on behalf of might not want to be as fully involved with, because it can actually be quite a distressing thing to have to talk about why is it that you are not accepting me into the life of the church. And to have people to be able to listen to your story and advocate on your behalf as allies is a very useful thing sometimes.
Yeah, I can see that. And I think it's a good reminder as well, that idea of listening well to people and not trying to make it about us. It's almost, I think, a natural human reaction to say, oh yeah, I had a similar experience. And actually, in saying that, however similar the experience might have been, it kind of changes that perspective to being about the person who's feeling discriminated against or struggling with something, to it being about us and putting our perception onto that. So yeah, I can see that that idea of an ally and coming alongside is a really helpful way of considering it. So thanks. What has been for you the most challenging subject or event in your work with Together for the Church of England?
Right, well, first of all, acknowledging that Together for the Church of England, in some ways, it's only been an organisation since we registered as a charity last year, but it is also a continuation of other work which has fed into it. I would say that the Living in Love and Faith debates, where they've been happening both locally and also at the national level, have been some of the more challenging discussions that we've had to negotiate our way round. And I'm sure many listeners in church life may have been involved in such debates and recognised that they have been quite difficult to handle sometimes. But I think it's really important that we do discuss areas where we're not quite on the same page. And doing that whilst also recognising there is a bigger truth, that we are all united as Christians through common baptism, and that while there may be issues that we feel are very big and very heavy to have to manage, that it all happens within that wider perspective of belonging to Christ, of belonging to the church, and wanting to do the best in the way that we feel called in that context. That isn't always easy, because people don't always have the same point of view, and people, particularly in a faith context, can be very, very heavily committed to their theological perspective, to their church tradition. And so to be able to engage respectfully with others and to be able to listen and also to be able to articulate oneself clearly has been a challenging part of this. And I think also, as the debate has moved from that sort of principles and ideas through to how is the policy actually going to be worked out, and trying to figure out what is the best way forward, I mean, it's doing the political calculus in a way. That has also proved challenging, but it's important that we take time. It's important that we work this out. But also, people such as myself are always held to the fact that we do this work because we do have a vision of a Church of England that's truly fit for everyone within our society. And that includes ensuring that LGBT plus people can play as full a part in the life of the church as is possible. And I want to stress as well, one reason why we named ourselves Together for the Church of England is we want to have a Church of England which is broad and which does include different perspectives and which does include people of different church traditions, who may not agree with us on everything. But we recognise there is that deeper belonging to one another through common baptism, through faith in Christ, and that deep truth is the sort of thing that we want to try and create. We have the vision of a large table around which everyone can meet, even though we might not always agree, or even though we might have some points of contention. I hope we can all recognise that we all believe in the same God, that we are all trying to serve in the way that we have been personally called and that we can learn from one another.
Thank you. I think just picking up on that, living in love and faith, I'm sure lots of parishes will recognise that that has been a really hard discussion for many people to have. We did it in our own parish, and one of the things that I think I found really encouraging that came out of Living in Love and Faith was that the whole idea was not to persuade people to all have the same view. So there wasn't this kind of artificial, we're kind of sharing this with you, but you want you all to come out in exactly the same way. And in doing it that way, sort of authentically, I think it helped people to listen and understand where different people were coming from. So in our own setting, I remember a couple of people saying, actually, I think maybe I have got something wrong, or I've never thought of it from that perspective before, even if they didn't change their view. And that was actually quite beautiful that they'd opened up and were prepared to be a bit more vulnerable about this isn't just set on how I think it is. Actually, there might be a bit more nuance here, and it's helpful for me to hear from different people. So I can understand that on a bigger stage that must have been particularly challenging, because it was in small local communities as well.
Yes, I mean, I think in many ways it will have worked really well in local communities and local discussions where it was engaged with in good faith and with the sort of listening you were describing. And I think the LLF team did a very good job with the written materials and with some of the videos that help tell people's stories. One advantage at the local level is you're with people with whom you worship alongside week by week in many cases. And while you might realise that you have some different opinions or views, there is actually something deeper that links you together. It can be a little bit harder in the more formal setting of the General Synod, where we just meet for two long weekends, effectively a year, and then we go off to all our different corners of the country and get on with life. And we don't have that opportunity to keep maintaining the relationship as you might do in a parish. So that has provided some difficulties, but we do work hard on trying to listen to one another as best we can.
Brilliant, thank you. So just to kind of finish off, I guess, is there one thing that you would like listeners to take away from this? And if there is, what would it be? What one message would you give people?
Yes, I would just want to encourage people to recognise that they can actually make a change in the life of the Church of England, whether that's in their local parish, or through their deanery or diocese, or even nationally through and joining something such as the General Synod. We're very fortunate in the Church of England. I have friends in other denominations who look almost enviously sometimes that ordinary people in the pew, as I very much see myself, are able to be involved and have debates and have discussions and cast votes and help to shape the future life of the Church. And actually, if you look back, I was reflecting just before this podcast, it was only just over 30 years ago that we decided as a church that we would allow women to be ordained. And that was something which required all sorts of people deciding, actually, we need to make a positive change in this regard. And whether that was campaigning locally or whether that was having discussions with people locally who weren't sure to help, you know, explore attitudes and maybe change those, or whether that was becoming a member of the General Synod and being present when the vote went through back in 1992, there are always ways in which people can get involved to make a change. And that's one thing we're doing through Together for the Church of England, is creating a vehicle where people who want a more inclusive, a more equal and a more diverse church that can really, really fulfil its calling to reach out to everyone in our society, that Together for the Church of England can be a vehicle for that, and you can find other people who will help work alongside you in achieving those goals.
Great. And if people are listening and are keen to be involved in Together in the Church of England, how would they find out more about that?
The best thing to do would be to track down our website. So either put Together for the Church of England into Google, or our web address is togethercof, all as one word, so togethercof. .org.uk. That's togethercof.org.uk. On there, you'll be able to sign up to our national mailing list. We also have a page where you can find a list of local diocesan contacts. So whether you're in listening to this from Truro Diocese or have found it from some other diocese somewhere in the country, you'll be able to find a local contact there and get in touch with them. And also, if there is anyone who thinks, actually, I would be interested in knowing more about the work of the General Synod, the General Synod is always live streamed on YouTube. You can see our debates there. The papers are available on the website. And There are elections for General Synod happening next year, that's 2026. So maybe if people have felt this is an area they're interested in, they might just be wanting to be thinking and praying about whether that might be something they would want to stand for election for. And if they do, do get in touch with us at Together. We'd love to hear from you and be able to support you if you decide that you would want to stand for election.
Thank you. And thank you very much for your time this afternoon. I appreciate how busy you are. And thank you for giving us the time to talk more about the work that you've been involved in and explain a little bit about it to us. So we wish you all the best in the future.
Thank you. It's been a real pleasure.
You've been listening to CMD Bite Size Podcasts, produced by the Diocese of Truro. If you've enjoyed this episode, please do follow and share. To listen to similar podcasts, please visit the Truro Diocese website. If there is a subject you would like us to include, please email us at ministry@truro.anglican.org.